You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
The reason we look like we look in the last couple of weeks is this is our Welcome Home series we do every year, which talks about why we believe, why we do church the way we do church. We feel like church should be more like a family instead of a business. And that church should be, we talked about, number one, church should be a safe place. And we know that in our society, places that should be safe, whether it's the home, whether it's school, whether it's church, is something that is very harmful, or we consider very deep, a deep wound, when a place that should be safe and somebody abuses those, whether it's a teacher or a pastor or a parent or something like that, that those are places we know that we should go to be able to grow up in safety. And so we said last week church should be a safe place. In Jesus' time, there were three different religious groups. There were the Pharisees. The Pharisee loves the rules and the regulations, and, you know, this is how you're a good Christian. If you want to do it right, we figured it out, and they just put all the lists on you. Then there was the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were all about theology. I'm going to teach you all these lessons. We're going to learn all these theology. They would like to argue and banter back and forth. They kept coming to Jesus with all these theological questions. And then there were the Herodians. And the Herodians really believe that God was working through the political system of the time. We said last week, it doesn't seem like things have changed very much. We have a lot of churches that seem like they're into a lot of theology, or here's all my rules and regulations. Or, you know, they're all about political issues. And those we feel like maybe aren't the safest places we should be. That we should be in a place that's like a community. We talked about that last week. Community is one of the places we talked about. Community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. That we care more about who you are than what you do. That we care more about where you're going than where you've been. That's community. We celebrate humility. Those who succeed in life, we have patience and bear with those who are failing, maybe, and we have unity with those who we may disagree. That is creating a safe place in a church, and this is one of the things that we try to do at Streams Church. Today we're talking about a place of growth. My daughter Brittany just graduated, as well as Mike Sharp back there from Midwestern University as PA students. And yeah, Mike is going to, you're in fellowship at Mayo out in Scottsdale, right? Doing a fellowship, and then Brittany's taking a job up in Tuba City at the ER room up there. So if you ever break your leg in Tuba City, you might get to see her. Okay. If you break your leg in Tuba City, we might be having another talk. What are you doing breaking your leg in Tuba City, right? And so anyway, I don't know. I went there. She got a graduation gift. This is a Rhodesian Ridgeback, believe it or not, puppy. And when we got the puppy, she was 25 pounds. If you're not familiar with the Rhodesian Ridgeback, somebody explained it to me who knew dogs. They said they have the body of a greyhound and they will have the muscles of a pit bull. They were used to hunt lions in Africa. They're very protected as far as the breeders go. She was graduation, the night before graduation, they had a dinner that all the PAs went to, and they had a preceptor show up. And a preceptor is a doctor that worked with all the students. Who every 6 weeks they got a new doctor, and so you'd go in and the doctor would say, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, what do you think about that patient? So they did this for 15 months, is that right, 15 months, where they were just one after another after another. So there was a preceptor of the year, a doctor of the year that they honored at the graduation. She did a 24-hour psychiatric treatment in downtown Phoenix, right? And so she came up and she knew Brittany's two friends. Well, people from out of town were coming in for the graduation. So the preceptor went up, and one of the girls says, this is my fiance, he's in from Arkansas. And the next one said, this is my boyfriend, he's in from Maryland. And she looked at Brittany. And Brittany goes, I got a puppy. And so she goes, I thought maybe you found somebody. She goes, I did, a puppy. I got a puppy. And the thing about it is this puppy's no longer that size. This puppy's about 40 pounds. Within a month, it went from 26, 25 pounds up to 40 pounds. You can't hold this puppy like this anymore. The problem with the 40-year-old puppy is she still thinks she's like 10 pounds. And I got a split lip last week. I've got bite marks all over me. She's just playing like a puppy, right? But she doesn't understand that I'm growing, I'm getting bigger. The mentality of a puppy, the strength of a large and medium dog. And incredible growth, but she's still immature. Here's the problem. One day she will be like her mother, about 85 pounds. If she's still acting like a puppy, she will cause damage to the family, specifically me. She has to be trained. She has to have obedience shots. Obedience training. She has to get shots. All these things that take her from being a puppy into an adult dog. And at Streams Church, we want to create a safe place. But safe doesn't mean we're necessarily soft in everything. In fact, I would say that soft is dangerous. A lack of discipline puts you in a place of great risk of major fail. There is a church in the Bible that was so messed up. They were undisciplined. They had issues. And we're going to look at that church, the Church of Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Corinthians. We're going to start with chapter 1. If not, the words will be on the screen. And I'm going to show you some places that Paul talked to these guys just to let you know what type of church, where they were at in their spiritual walk. So Corinthians 1, 10 through 11 says this. It says, Paul has already left them. He's somewhere else and he's writing a letter back to this church that he started. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. And so these guys are arguing all the time. They're having these battles. You know what? Well, Pastor Lloyd's the one that I like the most at Streams Church. He's the guy that speaks. He's the oldest. And somebody goes, Pastor Allen gets the job done. He's just a talking head, Pastor Lloyd. Pastor Allen gets all the work done. And somebody goes, you know what? I like Pastor Josh of the youth because he's just fun. It's all about life, you know? And then somebody goes, well, I follow Jesus Christ. You know, that's what was happening. There's this argument in the church about what leader is more important. Now, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Listen to these guys here. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing them, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. Imagine the pastor that started the church. He leaves and he writes back, you guys are a bunch of babies. I can't even feed you good food. By now we should be there, but you're still drinking milk. Okay, and then he goes on. Here we go, chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. It is actually reported that there's a sexual immorality among you and of the kind that the pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you're proud. There's literally a guy in this church that was sleeping with his stepmom. And they sort of wore it as a badge, like, God just loves everybody. He's full of grace. And he goes, even the pagans outside of the church, people that don't know God, they wouldn't put up with this. And you guys are putting up with this? We got more. Verses 9 through 11. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to remove yourself from this world. You have to leave this world. So he's saying, I'm not talking about people that are outside the church and the world. I get that it's going to be out there. I am writing you about people who claim to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not eat with such people. And he's saying, I happen to know that in your church, there are all kinds of issues. There are all kinds of people, not outside, inside your church. And he goes, don't associate with those people. Don't sit down with them. They need to get right with God is what he's trying to say. Now, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers? The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Or why not rather be cheated? And he's saying, you know what? You shouldn't be taking your brother or sister in the church to court. You guys have already lost. I mean, you're not even one in spirit. You're not one in heart. You got all these issues. And not only that, you're taking them to court. You're taking them to court in front of unbelievers. What a bad testimony to the church. He goes, wouldn't it be better to be cheated by them? Just let it go. I'd rather be cheated and trust that God is going to take care of it. This is the Corinthian church that Paul set up. These guys are a mess. They're immature. They're sexually immoral. They're argumentative. They're petty. They're greedy. They're swindlers. And I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor Lloyd, how in the world did a church get like that? And I knew that you'd be asking me that question in your mind. How many knew that I would know that you'd be asking that question? Anybody out there? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you how this happened. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul tells them how it happened. Verse 14. He's saying, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. He has this compassion towards them. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. The word there, 10,000 guardians, in other versions of the Bible, is actually translated 10,000 instructors. And though you had 10,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. I've had more trouble with people on this issue of being a father than anything really in my ministry, in my life. Americans want instructors. They want entertainers. They want programmers, but not really spiritual fathers. And if some of you grew up in a Catholic, you know, school, you're probably twitching right now as soon as I say spiritual fathers, right? He's saying, this is the reason why. And I really understand why some of us push back against that, because some of us have had bad fathers, whether they're spiritual fathers or physical fathers. They're abusive, they're controlling, they become hypocritical. They might manipulate you for their kingdom. They're more concerned about what you can do to further their cause. And they're not willing to make the investment in you. So you hear spiritual fathers and you push back. One of the reasons is unresolved conflicts. I wish I could tell you I got everything right all the time. I don't. I make mistakes. But there are people, when I make mistakes, that walk away and never tell me. They walk away and they begin to get a bitter root. And it's like, spiritual father, that's unresolved conflicts. Maybe between me or somebody else that you had up there on a pedestal and all of a sudden disappointed you. And another reason could be that it makes us way too uncomfortable. We don't want people in our stuff. So when people sort of don't want me in their stuff and they leave or whatever, they usually say things. Let me rant a little bit, okay? They usually say, well, I'm just going to go somewhere I want to be fit. I've never counted, but I'm pretty sure that you can find 10,000 instructors on TV. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them all over the place, but you're not going to find fathers there, right? I've seen people on Facebook, and it sounds real spiritual. Well, can't I just sit with Jesus on a Sunday and play my guitar and kumbaya and then watch Christian TV, and we'll just have our moment? And Judy talks me down from the ledge, because I'm like ready to type, no, you can't. And she says, Lloyd, don't write that. You know why? Because you can get instructors everywhere. There's some good stuff. I watch it. But you know what? You can't get fathers in that type of a relationship. And you won't change without people around you and spiritual fathers speaking to your life. And Paul says, I know where you guys are a mess. You learn all kinds of things. You got all kinds of information, but you don't have a spiritual father. And maybe you're not connected to me, because I can't be a spiritual father to every person in this church. But if you have a deeper relationship in this church, I guarantee you it's because I've spoken into somebody's life who's spoken into somebody's life who's speaking into you. This is the way we handle at Streams Church. And every leader that is at a close level to me will tell you that's what I do. Johnny leads worship for us, and many of you know his wife is battling cancer. So a couple of weeks ago, she started with radiation in her brain. And he took a couple of weeks off. I told him, I said, why don't you take a couple more? I know you guys are in the fight of your life. You know, he's up here every week leading worship. You would never know that, right? That he is fighting for his life. He mentors these musicians here. He speaks into their life so they can stand here and do what they did today. And so I talked to him and said, hey, you're going to be leading for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to come and I'm going to speak into your life and say, this is why we did that. This is why I think that. Tell me why you thought that. We process things together. We debrief things. Anybody who speaks in my pulpit debriefs with me. What was the Lord speaking to your heart? How did that get across? And so Paul says this. I'm going to give you the answer. You don't have many fathers. He says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son who I love. And I know what he's thinking. Let me tell you what sort of happened in this church is. Paul leaves, and all of a sudden, it's like, the parents who leave the house on vacation, and the teenagers go wild with parties. That's what's happening in the church. And Paul says, I know what you're saying. I'm not here. How can I imitate you? And listen, verse 18, it's what he says to them. Some of you have become arrogant as if I was not coming to you. And they're throwing crazy parties because they don't think Paul's ever going to show up again. He's never going to catch us. We don't, you know. And this is what he says. I'm going to come back to you one day very soon, if the Lord is willing. Verse 21, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline or shall I come with love and a gentle spirit? Because Papa's coming back one day. How do you want me to come in? So he says this, I'm going to send Timothy to you, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. He's saying this, I'm not coming to you, but I'm going to send a man to you who knows my heart. Timothy's been on mission trips with me. I sit down, we have dinner together. He walks with me, we talk, we debrief, we talk about life and ministry. He's my son in the faith whom I love. And when I talk to pastors all the time, I ask them, who's your Timothy? Well, I've got a youth pastor. No. Who's your Timothy? Whom could you say this is my son in the faith that I love? See, you may not know me, but I tell you what, I love and trust Pastor Allen. He's our executive pastor. You know why? He knows my heart. I don't have to tell him what decisions to make. We've talked so much. We pray together. He knows how I feel about things. You can get that from any leader here. I share my heart a lot. Probably, they're probably wishing not as much as I do. But I do. Because I want to teach and train them. And I feel that way about my staff and the people around me. That these are my family, the people that I love, that we do church together. That's how we run church. That's what my mentor told me, and somebody, Floyd McClung is the man that, who he speaks into my life. This is one of the first scriptures he ever taught me when we were together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. This is at the end of Paul's life. He's writing 2 Timothy. He's in prison. He knows he's about to die. He writes Timothy a last letter. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy, you've seen it from me. I've been an example of what you're supposed to do. Now you take this, look at this. You take this and give it to people that you know will give it to people. It's not one level down. Don't you take that person. I have given you something and trust it to people that you know are going to father other people. And I've told you the story when Floyd McClung called me and said, I want you to be a group of my guys. I said, why? He goes, the Lord told me to father people that I knew would father people. I'm not going to pour my life into people. It's going to stop right there. So at Streams Church, we have this saying, if you want to be in true relationship and growing, here's our three levels of growth. You need a mentor. Someone who's ahead of you, who has permission to speak into your life. You need a challenger. Those at the same age, same stage in their life, who just encourages you. You know, the runner alongside of you says, come on, we can make this. We can do this. And then you need someone that you're encouraging, someone that's behind you, who has given you permission to speak into their life. We think this is a true concept of what a disciple is, who is growing and not immature. They've given somebody permission to speak into their life. They're challenging one another, and they speak into the life of somebody else. You want to be a better business person, or you want to be better in your job? Find yourself a mentor. Find yourself somebody that you can challenge together, and then bring somebody up that can duplicate the work you're doing. Be more meaningful. You want to be a greater father? We can go down the list. Husband? Find somebody that's a wife. Find somebody that's ahead of you. Some people you can have fellowship that challenge you, and somebody you're taking along with you. That is the answer to the church. It's interesting, and to the world. It's interesting, the word disciple in the Bible means apprentice. We've lost the apprenticeship concept in America. Back in the early 1900s, you didn't go to school if you wanted to be a metal worker. You went and worked with a metal worker for 4 or 5 years, and he taught you. Look at these scriptures that talk about a disciple. It actually means student, learner, or apprentice. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His apprentices came to him. How many years? 3.5 years he spent with them 24/7. Jesus called his 12 learners, apprentices to him, and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You know why? Because they'd already seen him do it over and over and over again. He said, now it's your turn. And this is our job. Go and make students, learners, apprentices. That's the job of the church. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I think, and many people would agree with me, the problem with the world today, the problem with America today, is we have 10,000 instructors, but we don't have very many fathers anymore. That's the answer. You can find out all kinds of information. You know what the problem with the church is today? We got a lot of instructors, but we don't have many fathers. And when you don't have a father in your life or somebody that's speaking into your life, you're going to be an 85-pound puppy. And you're going to be doing damage. I'm telling you right now, you'll have a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding, but you'll be immature in Christ. So one of the philosophies we have, one of the things we have here, is that we create an element where people become disciples. We're a discipleship-driven church. And the only way to become a disciple is to get into deeper relationships with people. That's the only way. And we do that through all kinds of means. We have Bible studies during the week. We have home fellowship groups. You can serve with a group of people. There are all kinds of ways that we want to go deeper in our relationships with one another. So I'm going to pray. Would you stand with me and let's pray? And I just want to ask you the question. Is, do you have a name right now? When I said that, probably some of you thought a name. Somebody's a mentor to you. Somebody that you look up to. Somebody that's a friend of yours that challenges you. You might have had a name to come up. Maybe somebody that you're trying to help out and grow in faith and in life. Would you just take a few seconds and think about those people? And if you don't have that person, would you ask the Lord to give you that person? Think about that for a second. Father, we want to thank you for the way that you do things. Jesus, thank you that you model for us what life should be like. People in faith working through life together, loving each other, challenging each other, teaching one another. So give us the grace to move into next levels of relationship. Help us get rid of the bitter roots in our lives, the places we've been disappointed by others. I just pray that you'd heal that now in the name of Jesus. And allow us to walk in faith that you have the right person. And then, Father, if you have that name, I want to thank you for, and you just fill in the blank right now, because I wouldn't be the person I am today if they didn't speak into my life. It might even be your spiritual, your physical father. I just want to thank you for that person. I want to thank you for my friends around me that, man, we're just doing life together. We're charging the mountain. And, Father, thank you for the one that you called me to help out. And I choose to find that person if I don't have them. So, Father, make us true disciples, apprentices. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.